Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
You are indeed listening to The Score, this hour of which is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit the new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Joining us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park, is the baseball writer for USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Bob, thanks for your time this morning. How you doing?
Yeah, doing great, man. Hey, Bruce.
It's inside the clubhouse. He is Bruce Levine. I'm Matt Spiegel. Absolutely. We're glad to have you. What are you hearing, Bob, on the latest in terms of when the union may present its counter proposal to the ownership group and what that counter proposal might look like, Bob?
Well, it should come down sometime in the next 48, 72 hours. That might guess would be Monday. And the counter proposal will be, around 100 games. And they still want, all their salary, that the prorated salary. So, but what it may do, we'll see if they have deferrals in there to say, okay, you don't have to pay us all now. You can spread some out the next couple of years. That's my anticipation.
Bob, I'm hearing that the owners are adamant about September the 29th at the latest that the season ends. They do not want to go deep into the fall and early winter because they're afraid of the return of the pandemic. And also, they don't want to put Fox in the position of having to decide what goes up against their own product, football against baseball. Does that make sense to you? And with that in mind, is it going to be possible to play 100 games if they stick hard to the end of September, end of the regular season?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. The owners are very fearful of the second wave of the virus, which wipe out postseason, which wipes out $1 billion in TV revenue. I imagine for the TV part, if you want to put games on Fox Sports 1, like you do anyway, up until the World Series, you could always do that. So, I think the owners would be willing to bend, say, okay, we'll go 1 week into November, maybe 10 days deep in November, but no more. And I'm not sure how you get 100 games in, considering this is going to drag on for a couple more weeks. So, I think, 82 is probably the right number. You could squeeze in more games if you want, no off days, a bunch of double hitters. But, hey, we're going to have enough injuries as it is, with these guys having such a short spring training this time around.
Is there a realization within the players' union, Bob? You think that they will have to bend a little, or are they going to hold super strong to this notion of getting 100% of the prorated salaries? And I guess the second part of that is how much of that is Tony Clark trying to portray a strength that might be necessary for him to keep his job with that union?
Well, yeah, I mean, the answer is black and white in the agreement that if there's no fans in the stands, if there's restrictions on travel, the commissioner has a right to cancel the season. So they're supposed to negotiate in good faith new salary structure. And that's what they're trying to do. You can argue all you want whether that was, was not a very good proposal that they came up with the first time around. But it was the first proposal, and that was it. The players are going to have to bend at some point. But look, if you get 20% of your salary, 20% decrease from your salary, is a whole lot better than staying at home and getting zero.
Bob, why do you think baseball markets their players so poorly, and that it just doesn't come close to the feel good that you get with the NBA and NHL about players being marketed? Is it because of the long season, or is it because of the strength of the union and the owners feeling that, you know, if you promote your own players too much, it works against you during arbitration and ultimately in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those are factors, Bruce, but, you know, hey, the average age of a baseball fan is 57 years old, you know, much, much lower for NBA, NFL, you know, hockey, that sort of thing. But I remember, when I was coming to Kansas City Royals, Bo Jackson came up, and we were very close. And when Bo went to football, the reason was not that he had a lot to go back to NFL, but Nike had so much money that they're going to pay him if he went to football compared to baseball. You know, people are in the stores buying baseball spikes. They're buying basketball shoes and football shoes, you know, things like that. And so it's just those sports, off the field, the endorsements are so much greater. I think I saw a thing from Forbes yesterday, and the top 100 paid athletes, there's only one baseball player, just because the money off the field is so great for the other sports and not baseball.
Is that why you think they hold out and hold so strong to get as much as they can? Because they know that beyond baseball, there's not as much out there. Because there is this idea that they have to get every bit that they can, and I understand it. Every bit that they can while they're playing, while they're healthy in this small time frame.
No, true. But you know what the owners like to remind them, and the union, will say the same thing, is they did get a minimum of $600 million in concessions. We got the service time. If there's not a day played, everybody still moves a year closer to free agency, a year closer to salary arbitration. In the long run, that's worth billions of dollars over the years, but it's worth $600 million right away. So I think sometimes that's forgotten. That helps make players a lot more money as well.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, joining Matt Spiegel and Bruce Levine. It's Inside the Clubhouse every Saturday between 9 and 11, 52 weeks out of the year. And Bob, sources confirmed to me and a few other people I know yesterday that a minor league season of sorts is being planned for November and December if the pandemic doesn't show rear its ugly head again, and that it will be both in Florida and Arizona. Just to get the minor league players some semblance of player development in a season where there won't be a minor league season.
Well, you got to do something. I mean, you can do the extended instructional league at that time. Certainly you can do a expand Arizona Fall League. I mean, it's sitting right there. There's 30 beautiful complexes, for teams to use for their spring training sites. But, yeah, some of these teams will have their young minor leaguers play as part of that 20-man taxi squad, just not that they're going to bring them up, just to not to impede their development. But, yeah, it'd be a huge setback to all those minor league kids that are coming close, knocking the door. And you wonder how some of those guys will react, having a full year off. So, yeah, they got to play games, at least some exhibition-type things, before the calendar year's over.
Hey, Bob, why do some organizations just look at the minors so differently than others? I mean, the words of Dayton Moore, I think, today, or maybe it was late yesterday, about the minor league players and their importance in helping to grow the game are beautiful. And, like, there's a sense of honoring the importance of the minors, and some owners just don't feel the same way. Why is there such a disparity in the game about that?
Yeah, great point. I mean, I think that's why, there's even the owners, and people say, well, these guys should open up books to the players. Why don't they open their books to each other? So, that sort of thing. But, yeah, everybody's got different philosophies and saying, hey, is it worth $1 million that the minor leagues the way they do and not pay these kids? And some are saying, well, we'll pay the kids. They turn around and, release 60 players. You're hardly paying anybody. But, yeah, everybody's got different philosophies on this and how they want it to go. But obviously, baseball's looking to cut corners every which way. you know, Royals are it's a brand new owner too, and I'm sure he was convinced by Dan Moore, hey, you know, please don't cut anybody. It's going to be for the betterment of the franchise. And I think those things will help. You know, in the draft, for instance, on June 10th, you know, you only draft five rounds. I mean, you can sign anybody else that's not drafted for $20,000. So if you're a kid trying to decide, hey, what team I want to sign with, you're going to look at organizations perhaps that have treated their players, minor league players, the best during this pandemic.
Bob, when you look at, you know, a lot of the blustering going on both sides, you know, you've been around a long time. You wrote a great column on the fact yesterday in USA Today that, you know, a deal will get done here, but everybody should put on a little bit of their blinders and, you know, their headphones to get through this next week. Do you assume next 7 days or so, 10 days at the very most, that an agreement has to be made?
I don't think it has to be made, Bruce, but I think it will be made. And you know, that's one trouble here is there's no deadline. But even when the spring training was shut down on the 12th of March, the regular season was supposed to start the 26th. So they waited the deadline and got a deal done in 2 weeks. So there's no deadline here. Negotiations just started on Tuesday with the proposal. So, you know, they could start the season they wanted to in August, when they could do a tournament in no regular season, you know, in September, October. So, you know, the more it goes on, you know, the fewer games. But I think that is a little bit of a problem, that there's no just drop dead date where, you know, they could start the season in August and we still have baseball.
Well, it's an opportunity, really. I mean, when we talk about this weirdness, if you're going to have limited travel and really just play within your division, if you're going to have, you know, some different things, this could be, as long as we get some games in and get a postseason in, this could be a really exciting, really weird year. I hope that there's some knowledge within the game that this is a real opportunity to show people how cool and adaptable the game can be.
Well, certainly, yeah, baseball's chance. You know, I mean, they can turn on the public or, you know, have the public turn off by the product. So, yeah, I know they're planning to mic up players and, you know, do different things. And with a short season, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, every game is, twice as much. But and anything can happen in a short season. I mean, last year at the All-Star break, the Pittsburgh Pirates of all teams were just a half a game behind the Cardinals. You know, the Washington Nationals have been dead and buried at 19-31. So we're going to see some flukes make the playoffs. And the fact is, you know, four more teams make the playoffs than normal. So, you know, 14 to 30. So, yeah, I think they'll be excited by that. You know, it'll be a sprint. It's not a marathon.
Following up on that real quick, Bob, if you say the four more expanded teams, do you think baseball would like to get the expanded playoffs in still? And would they be willing to have the regular season end early if they needed to?
Well, they don't mind the regular season ending early, but yeah, the expanded playoffs, they want this to be here to stay. Instead of a, you know, sudden death wild card game, have a best of three, you know, maybe, you know, at one site. But I want to say that and add, you can have potentially 14 extra postseason games. But yeah, they definitely want to, you know, expand the playoffs. And they definitely want to realign too. I think that day is coming. That day may be in 2022, you know, the first year after the next collective bargaining agreement.
Bob, what are you hearing about, you know, the trade market being a possibility or not in 2020? I mean, let's say we start up July 10th, and the normal trade deadline is July the 31st. Are we looking at a year where the economics of the game will pretty much dictate that no trades are made because of the fact that no one's going to gamble trading young players at this time for a shortened season that might not mean as much to an organization going forward, and that taking on any type of salary would be a non-starter at this point in time because of the economics of the game?
Yeah, I think there would be a trade deadline still, Bruce, probably you know, 1 month before the end of the regular season. So in this case, say August 31st would be the regular trade deadline. But you're absolutely right. It would crush the normal trades because now people are reluctant to trade for a guy that's going to be a free agent in 2 months. You know, now you only get him for 1 month. You can't even scout these guys in the minor league kids. Yeah, you saw them, you know, when the last played a year ago. You have no idea what they look like now. in salaries now with all the teams going to lose money. Hey, you really want to take on someone's big salary? I think, you know, Nolan Arenado almost guarantees that he'll be staying in Colorado for the foreseeable future. There's no one's going to touch a contract like that. There will be trades, but I think very, very few and very, you know, very dull trades.
What do you think free agency's future holds for guys like Mookie Betts, who've been waiting for this coming offseason? It's, you know, there might be a readjustment to the American dream for a lot of us, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I think he turned down $325 million in the Red Sox. You know, he had the right to do that, obviously. But he won't get that money this free agent period. I mean, people aren't going to just turn around and say, hey, we just lost $100 million, and let me invest $400 million in you. So I would think he'd be forced either to take a short-term deal, which I don't think he would, but take a long-term deal as long as there's opt-outs in there, early opt-outs, to see if the market's any better in a couple of years, because the market's going to stink for these guys for the first couple of years.
Locally, obviously, Bob, the Cubs have would-be free agents after 2021 that are important star players. You know, you have Bryant, you have Rizzo, you have Schwarber, you have Baez. Would you think that both sides will rethink what free agency might look like for these particular players, and there might be a meeting of minds, or do you think it's more divisive because of the fact that we don't know what the economy of baseball is going to look like after the 2021 season and the new CBA?
Well, if you're the Cubs, you're probably thinking, you know, it might work out well because all of a sudden that free agent market for, you know, the Baez, the Bryants of the world, you know, won't be as, rich for these guys. So maybe they'll say, you know what, we'll take a more interest in what the Cubs have to offer in trying to see what else is out there. And also you got to remember just, you know, the trade market, because the money those guys will be making, people are going to back away from that. So, you know, some of those teams that were interested in say, Bryant or a Schwarber, all of a sudden, you know, they won't be. And I don't want that kind of salary on my books. So I think it's more likely now that those guys, you know, ride it out with the Cubs rather than being traded.
You know, I love going out and having a drink in a bar when bars are open, when we're allowed to go out and do things. Rest in peace to the California Clipper, which is closing here in town. And I just was reading about Foley's, the legendary bar in New York City, founded by an Irishman who fell in love with baseball, and that became quite the baseball institution. Wanted to ask both you guys if you've been and had experiences there at Foley's in New York City, which just announced yesterday they're not going to survive this pandemic. They won't be reopening.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy that owns it, Sean Clancy, fabulous guy. Just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life. And, scouts went there all the time, executives, some players, the writers. It was a new hangout. You know, it used to be at different places over the years in New York, but New York's really sure to hang where to hang out. And he made a place like, hey, come here. When I was coming to playoffs, I was with the Washington National Scouts, you know, almost every night, and we'd always meet at Foley's. What the pandemic has done. It's a shame, but a lot of people went there just because of him. And he made a place, and you would see all kinds of people in baseball you haven't seen in months or even years.
That's a good crowd you're hanging with, the Washington National Scouts, because some of the greatest characters in the game of baseball ever are scouts for the Washington team. And you can thank Mike Rizzo for picking that out, and Phil Rizzo for introducing Mike to most of those guys when he was a little kid. Hey, Bob, we appreciate your time today. Keep up the great work in USA Today. Follow Bob at Bob Nightingale. And hopefully next time we have you on, we're talking about the regular season.
Yeah, my pleasure, Bruce. Thanks, man. Always enjoy it.
Thanks. Thanks, Bob. Thanks so much. I got to tell you, Bruce, that image, you know, when I was growing up and being fascinated by baseball and thinking about wanting to get in it And even now, once you're involved even a little bit, but those kind of places like Foley's, where it's a mm-hmm. mix of scouts and execs and maybe some players and the writers, and that's where the conversations can happen off the record. I mean, that's some of the magic of the aura of baseball, is that those kind of places have existed and hopefully will continue to exist.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. I learned more about baseball there than in dugouts normally. Just different watering holes and the winter meetings at 2, 3, 4 in the morning when people let their hair down. It's just that's the beauty of the game of baseball, is all the people that are integral in it and important and have information. I think that's why it's always been the favorite sport of many Americans, because of the fact that they can get closer to it by the information that we report to them. Where NBA, NHL, NFL, much more difficult process of access and information out there.
Yeah, and through the sheer length of the season and the volume mm-hmm. of the access, there's so much more of an in-depth approach. And I know that can get tiring to some people, and some people don't like that minutia. But for those of us that do, it's like, That's gold. That is the stuff, and that's the connective tissue that keeps you attached.
We'll take your calls at 312-644-6767. That's also our text number, 312-644-6767. Also, play you some highlights of some of our great shows, interviews during the week as well.
Absolutely. And one of the baseball execs in town got involved in the All-In Challenge, and he throws something in at the end that ties into the conversation we were just having. So we've got some time to do all of that and take your phone calls, as Bruce mentioned, at 312-644-6767. It is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Inside the Clubhouse is one place to get Bruce Levine. Inside the Ballpark is lovely for a fan. How about inside the baseball operations suite at Wrigley Field? That's part of Theo Epstein's offer that he made for the All-In Challenge. I know you watched and listened to, what, about 3.5 minutes that was posted on the Cubs social right. media pages, where Theo was challenged by Eddie Vedder and proceeded to detail a pretty amazing weekend that people can bid on for the All-In Challenge.
Yeah, it includes, a lot of participation when ballparks are open, obviously. This might be 2021, where you'd be a guest of him in the front office. You would also be hanging out. And maybe the most fun part of it would be at the end, Matt, right?
Yeah, it was 3 days, 3 games. You stay at Hotel Zachary across the street. One of the games, you're in real good seats down low. One of the games, you're in the bleachers. Another, you're at a rooftop. But he said for one of the games, you could come up and hang out in the baseball operations suite with those guys. And then after a game, they'd go to one of the local watering holes, as we were talking about, with some of the baseball operations people and have a few adult beverages. So to flat out offer that kind of experience and access for people to bid on, that's quite a thing. But the truth is, that's what these people do, right? That's what these people do, is they have to go out and unwind a little bit, like a lot of us, and that's part of the offer from Epstein and the All In Challenge. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if disguises will be a part of it like normal. I mean, I think disguises for people that are famous these days are number one. You know, you have to somehow disguise yourself. Otherwise, social media will bury you no matter what you're doing.
Upside of the pandemic, masks make it easier for everybody to disguise themselves.
True.
The All-In Challenge, it went from Eddie Vedder to Theo Epstein, and then from Theo Epstein to Sam Kennedy of the Red Sox, and to David Axelrod, political strategist. Is there anybody else who can go from Vedder to Axelrod? Is anybody else going to be in the middle of that Venn diagram other than Theo, probably?
Yeah, you wonder, you know, with the famous people and the politically potent people that he's friends with, if Theo, after his Cub career, will be going out into the area of politics. Most people, know how smart Theo is. We know how involved he has been with the Democratic Party over the years, hosting fundraisers for some of the most important Democratic politicians in the country. From all that, what do you think? You think that's the next move for Theo after Cubdom?
I'd be surprised if it's not. Unless, you know, I mean, as people get older, things change, priorities change, but it would make a lot of sense to me. I mean, it's son of a social worker, right? And his twin brother, Paul, and Paul's wife do some amazing social work related things in Boston still, and Theo very connected, and the work they do with the foundation to be named later. I mean, there's a big calling there in that family to do that kind of work.
Yeah, that should be interesting to follow. And you know, after the success he's had and the money he's made in baseball, is he more importantly just looking for another challenge? So we'll know more about that, because he is another big-time free agent for the Chicago Cubs after the 2021 season. So you put Bryant, you put Rizzo, you put Schwarber, you put Baez, and you put Theo Epstein on that same scale of, will they be with the Chicago Cubs after 2021?
What has your gut been about that? And is Jed Hoyer someone who would want to remain and take over at that point?
Well, I mean, I think Jed is a tremendously competent guy who I'm sure he would get the first look, excuse me, by the Ricketts family and the people that make decisions there on who works with them at the top levels. I don't know if Theo has anything more to prove in baseball. I mean, he's won in the two most difficult places to win that were centuries almost. At least one was a century. The other, 86 years before they won a World Series. He was the mastermind for both. I don't know what type of challenges are left for him in baseball. So from that perspective, I think staying with the Cubs or moving to another team, you know, I don't know if that's satisfactory. He's made a significant amount of money. I mean, money is not going to be the driving force of the next move that he makes. So from all of that, I'm with you, Matt. I think politics is where he might go, because he is so passionate about this country. He's so passionate about his politics that I think he might be driven in that area.
It's 670 The Score. It's Inside the Clubhouse. A texter says, Theo for MLB commissioner. You know, it used to be that you'd look around and find somebody who loved the game and find somebody who was really smart and could think about the good of the game for that job. That's where they went and plucked Bart Giamatti out of Yale to do it. But these days, that job, like just about all commissioners' jobs, are really an extension of ownership. And they are the steward for the owners these days.
No doubt. I mean, from Bud Selig, once Bud Selig became the commissioner of baseball, that position changed. Because one thing, when they offered the job to Bud as the commissioner, he said, from now on, we will have 30 people voting yes to anything that we agree on, and we will not proceed forward until we do. So his only thought of not taking the job, when he told the owners, we will have a consensus and we will be 30 strong on anything we vote on, that will be the strength of Major League Baseball. That will be the strength of the big decisions that we have to make going forward. And it forever changed. You're right, Matt. The role of representing just the good of baseball and the players, that kind of transferred to the Players Association. That's how strong that association is. And the commissioner became the commissioner and the CEO for ownership in Major League Baseball. And it's worked pretty darn well over the last 30 years.
It's a lot to ask of the Players Association, though, to think about the overall health of the players and the good of the game when the owners are thinking about the overall health of the owners and the good of the game. This is why we get the ugliness of these moments, perhaps.
Yeah, but you have the strongest union in the United States of the Baseball Players Association, okay? And that's that strength, makes these things more contentious and more difficult to get done. But it also is the beauty of what a true union is all about, what it represents, and how that, owners for so many decades and years and years and years before the union came into place, were taking, 80-90% of the profits. And that just wasn't the American way that it has evolved into.
Mm-hmm. Do you think baseball is going to be able to remain the free market economy that it is? Really, of all the major organized sports, it's really the only one that has the kind of structure that it does, doesn't it?
Isn't it, Bruce? Yeah. You're right, Matt. I think it's a great point. I think they're fighting tooth and nail, just like unions in this country are fighting to survive and have had to make tremendous adjustments since the air traffickers were taken down by President Reagan back in the late 80s, the start of the erosion of unions' strengths in the United States. I think you're also looking at that battle going on between ownership right now and players. It took place and reared its ugly head in 1994. For the first major time, and baseball survived. But look at how long it took baseball to get back to where it needed to be after that. It took the Sosa-McGuire battle for home runs to bring total interest back for baseball fans. So it is certainly a great question, and we will have to watch that evolve. But I like the idea that there's a players' union. I like that they have autonomy from Major League Baseball. I like that there is a fight between the both sides to get things done, even if it is ugly for them and baseball fans. It's it's the true thing about what we represent out there as far as freedom of choice.
Boy, I should have studied labor law a little bit more. I should have studied epidemiology a little bit more. Should have studied accounting and legal things a little bit more. I thought we'd be doing so much more baseball this year. Bruce was so excited about the baseball season on both sides of town, and it's just I think we're going to get it, but it's just going to be it's just going to look so different. Remember all the conversation in the winter about like Sox on the way up, Cubs trying to hold on, both interesting franchises. What a great time for a two-city town. I mean, my God, this was supposed to be great.
I agree with you that some of this talk is tedious, but I think as much information as we bring, hopefully on this show, and I know on the score on a daily basis. I think it's serving a real important purpose, even though it is minutia and it's business and medical news at its peak. I think that, we are informed and we are trying to give you the latest information about where it's at. I think it's cutting edge here, and that's what we have to represent, whether it's talking about the games being played themselves or the sport itself.
Yeah, I don't think it's minutia. I think it's the necessity of the moment. I just wish it was not the necessity of the moment, but I guess that's an opinion shared by a lot of us. You mentioned a lot of the shows, Bruce. Let's hear from some guests when we come back on the score. We'll hear from a couple guys who were on some of the shows during the week. Lots of really good guests, some of which we'll bring back for you today, and I want to talk about one that I'll be bringing back tomorrow on Hit and Run as well. So we'll step away, come back for one more segment. Your calls and your texts, welcome at the same number. 312-644-6767. That's the new number to text. Put it in your phone, and that's how you reach us. And we'll read them right here on Inside the Clubhouse on the Score. Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Bruce Levine, right here. Let's hear from a couple people who were on this week, Bruce, on the score. As Ron Coomer was on the morning show and talked from the player's perspective about how you can't take things quite as personally as sometimes the temptation is to take them when it comes to negotiations and what the offers are.
You can't get insulted by offers when you're in a negotiation. It's not very easy to tell a 25-year-old that because they haven't been through many of them. But as a business person now in my 50s, I've gone through a lot of different negotiations, whether it be baseball or other businesses. And sometimes the initial offer that you get or the initial negotiation and numbers that are put down are, you look and go, how in the world would they think that? Well, there's always got to be a starting point, and that's where they're at.
And that's why you have to be wary of social media and stuff like that. But like, try not to take it personally and just understand it's just businessmen talking with you, other businessmen.
Yeah, that was Ron Coomer and Mully and Haw this weekend. Do fans have a lot of stomach for what's going on here, Matt? You know, probably not. I think they're interested. I think they listen to our show because they want to be updated. But I think they're pretty much saying what a lot of executives are saying, and that is, let us know when you have a deal, and then we'll consider watching baseball again, and we'll be happy that it happens. I know the NBA and NHL are on their way to formulating their playoffs. We haven't even begun to hear anything at all about a baseball schedule. Can you imagine how difficult that's going to be when they're going to have to create a brand new schedule with teams, you know, regionally formatted, American League Central, National League Central, the lion's share, if not all of the games during the regular season will be done regionally. Can you imagine what that's going to be all about? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, you know, what it's going to be for the traveling secretaries to make all of these arrangements right now for the next 2.5-3 months where they don't have hotel reservations. They don't have medical staff lined up for these places. They don't have quarantining going on at this time. It's a monumental job. It really is. From the people I talk to, it's taking 15 to 20 man hours a day just in preparation for all these happening on the chance that both sides get an okay from each other.
Unbelievable. And in the stress of the current moment to be doing that job. That's the thing that I think people don't understand when they compare MLB's situation to that of the NBA and the NHL. It's really a perfect crap storm of of factors in confluence here for MLB. Their season hasn't begun. I mean, NBA and NHL, as they're trying to figure it out, they've played, what, 90% of their season,
right.
And they might just skip the rest of their regular season and go to a converted playoff in some hub cities or a single city quarantine model. You've got MLB trying to plan the entirety of an abbreviated season. The logistics are way more challenging for baseball than they are for those other sports.
Yeah, and here's another essential part of it, Matt. The NBA and NHL players have been paid the majority of their salaries.
Yes. Yes.
So that's huge. We're not hearing any, you know, I mean, with the salary cap, you know, the players are paid X amount. In the case of the NBA, I think 47% of the revenues, and that's it. You know, so there's no fighting over, you know, individual salaries or amounts of money to be divided up. It's a simple mathematic procedure. It'll continue on that way with the playoffs when the NHL and the NBA start up.
Absolutely. And in that way, the calendar has conspired against baseball in terms of the way the public is going to feel about it, because NBA and NHL players, not only don't they have to really consider the money, they also have built up this massive hunger to culminate the season. They want to see if LeBron and Anthony Davis can beat the Bucks in a potential final. They want to see a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference final. They want to see those things. And the players themselves have a hunger for that to be resolved. Baseball players and some baseball people, I just fear at some point everybody's like, people are going to say, you know what, boy, this is just more trouble than it's worth. I fear that'll be there.
Matt. Yeah, I really understand that, but I don't think that I think it would be the beginning of the end for baseball as being as an important sport as it is. I mean, you know, we hear about baseball clinging to its popularity as it is, and, you know, getting large attendances for 162 game season, not the easiest thing in the world, but baseball built up to 70 million in attendance a couple of years ago, and now it's started to dwindle some small percentages over the last 2 years. That's a major concern in itself, and that's why I think you're seeing owners understanding that the peak for their revenues might have been over with, and that it's going the other way, and that's why you're starting to see the way they look at the minor leagues, the way they'll look at the CBA after 2021. All of these realities of the sport and the revenues.
And that's why this conversation about streamlining the minors and streamlining, you know, the volume of people that have been employed by baseball
and the draft
teams.
You know,
yeah,
the way they're looking at the draft. So we know it's not ideal, but you know, for them to make the money that they want to make, and, you know, fans don't really care about how their money's split up. They know they have to pay a certain amount. But, I mean, have baseball prices peaked? And if owners think that, will some of the Major League Baseball teams start to get sold at this peak because they're worth so much more money than they were? You know, just take the Chicago Cubs as an example, being sold for $865 million back in 2009 and now being worth $3.2 billion. You know, 11 years later, that is a shocking thing that has occurred in Major League Baseball. But owners are looking at the fact that maybe our revenues have peaked and starting to go the other way.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't take much to look around the world and look at industries and see how so many of them have been, you know, have had talent redistributed, have had the way that you go about acquiring that talent and acquiring those services be redistributed, the peer-to-peer nature of so many different things. We'll see a redistribution of talent. I was thinking about it as Bob Nightingale was talking about, you know, the Chicago Dogs and other independent league teams, that all of a sudden those teams, like the Long Island Ducks have been at times in the past, like every once in a while we've had a story, hey, Rich Hill had to go to the independent league and worked his way back, right? Or Carlos Zambrano wants, it's part publicity stunt and part comeback dreams. Those independent league teams might all of a sudden become viable, competitive places for talent to go and try to show that they still deserve a spot in the big leagues.
You're 100% correct, Matt. And not only that, but JUCOs, the junior colleges,
yep,
might have a resurgence now as the player, the very good players getting out of high school, might want to delay and stagger their trip to professional baseball because of the fact that the money might not be there quite right now, and they want to continue to be able to play. So you're a million percent right about independent leagues maybe flourishing and being the new feeder system to major league teams, yep, over the next 5, 10, or 15 years, because players who love baseball, they're going to still want to play, and they're still going to want to try to have a professional career. And if the only way to do that is through independent leagues, JUCOs, and that area, I think you might see them flourish.
Let's let Ian Happ have one of the final words on the show, Bruce. He was on with Dan Bernstein earlier in the week. He's been doing a weekly hit with him, I think, on Thursdays. And Ian Happ is trying to look at the positives and wants fans to see the positives in the negotiations as they're being publicized.
As much as we don't want this to play out in the media, and I think, like I said last week, the best thing for us to do is to send proposals back and forth and announce it when it's done. But it's positive. Any traction on the two sides sending proposals back and forth is positive. And I think that's what the fans should take from this, is that there's conversations happening and we're getting closer to a deal, no matter how far off we are on these proposals from either side. Sending them back and forth is getting us closer to a deal. So I think there's nothing but positives coming out of the two sides talking.
All right,
nothing
so
like
what
ending
kind of
on a
odds?
Positive note. Yeah, right, Matt.
Yeah, right? I mean, what kind of odds could you have gotten, Bruce, on Ian Happ developing into a calm voice of reason in these unprecedented times?
I love it, but, I mean, it shows it shows his intelligence on the matter and how much the education process has taken place in the Players Union for players, even young players like Ian Happ. Hey, tomorrow on your show, Hit and Run, what do you got going?
I'm really looking forward to it. Jason Hamill, who is now a colleague of yours and of mine at times over at the Marquee Sports Network. Jason Hamill will be on tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And Bronson Arroyo, the former Red Sox and Cincinnati Red, always an interesting guy to talk pitching and baseball with. So both those guys on. And I'll replay some of Carlton Fisk, who was on with our guy Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin on Monday. That was some amazing stuff. After us, it's Rosenblum and Grody right here on The Score until 2 o'clock. And then Jake Arrieta's no-hitter against the Reds is at 2 o'clock right here on The Score. After that, Zach Zabin will be hosting on the station as well.
And people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine and on our website at 670thescore.com. Matt, have a great week.
You too, Bruce. Thank you to Adam Studzinski for a great job. Check out the podcast of Inside the Clubhouse for Bob Nightingale and Paul Kinzer as well. Have a great week, everybody. Rosie and Grody are next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.